You're listening to Cinema Jaw, the greatest movies podcast ever, recorded on location. This week, we're at Mother's and Statesville Haunted Prison. My name is Matt Kay, and with me is...
Ry, the movie guy, Matt. And this week on Cinema Jaw, we get scared to the bone for our Halloween special.
I know. I'm ready. There is like coffins and skulls and spider webs and skeletons all over the place here at Mother's. And this is my favorite time of year.
I was going to say, is this not your favorite holiday?
It is. Yeah. Christmas is for pansies, I think, you know, and Valentine's Day, I'm not even going to get started.
Oh, you missed a big one.
St. Patrick's Day, I like to drink.
Thanksgiving.
Oh, please.
My number one is Thanksgiving.
You turkey.
2 days off and football and food, done.
Really? Thanksgiving?
Thanksgiving.
That's so lame.
No, I love it.
I mean, pumpkin pie is good and turkey and all that. I like to eat, but...
I guess, you know, I like my family, I like to eat, and I like the days off, and I like watching football.
All right.
But I give you Halloween as my number two.
Your number two?
Yeah.
Okay. All right, good.
Now, as you mentioned, we're here at Mother's, but me and Matt drove down to Statesville Haunted Prison, one of the best haunted houses in the entire country.
It was a lot of fun going through that thing, too.
It was voted, I think, constantly in the top five of Illinois for the past 15 or 16 years.
I mean, these guys are consistently in the top lists. So.
Yeah. And this week on Cinema Jaw, we have a special guest joining us. He runs Statesville Haunted Prison. He also has a movie out called Mole Man of Belmont Avenue.
Yes, which is now streaming on Netflix.
Yep, he is John LaFlamboy.
Yeah, one of the most active haunt guys, like we said, in the country, and a filmmaker, and just a really busy and interesting dude.
Yeah, John has been on Cinema Jaw twice before, friend of the show. He invited us down to Statesville Haunted Prison. Me and Matt went down, went through the haunted house, got an interview with him. Plus, John is going to take you on in honor of all these remakes out in the theater, horror remakes, horror remake movie trivia.
Okay, nice.
Plus, he is going to judge us in Cinema War Halloween special, Matt, Vampires versus Zombies.
Oh, you're going down.
Oh, come on. I'm going to... take a bite into that Cinema War,
we'll see.
All right. Plus, we are going eye for an eye on The Counselor, new Michael Fassbender movie.
Yeah.
We have a theater review of Enough Said, the Julia Louis-Dreyfus, James Gandolfini film.
Yes.
Plus...
the posthumous release from Gandolfini.
It was sad to see.
Yeah, unfortunately left.
Got a review for you there. Plus, you caught Gravity, so we really want to dig in a little bit deeper and talk about the themes of Gravity.
Yeah.
And... in honor of our Halloween special, our top five favorite, I guess, scariest movie settings.
It's going to be fun.
It is. It's going to be scary.
I'm shaken already.
So let's get right to it. We jump in with Eye for an Eye this week, Matt. Eye for an Eye is sponsored by...
Redbox, Ryan.
Yes.
We got a new sponsor, Redbox.
Redbox Instant, Matt. Now, everybody knows Netflix Instant. It's streaming.
Sure.
So is Redbox now. And here's the best part about it. Redbox Instant, 3,500 movies already added for streaming, $8 a month. But to help you out and find those new releases, you get 4 free DVD credits at their boxes every single month, all for $8.
And these things are everywhere outside of convenience stores, Walmarts, Walgreens. They're everywhere.
Yes.
Ubiquitous. So
it's free. On top of that, it's free the first month. The best thing, too, is to help out Cinema Jaw, go to our website and click on the link. You'll see an ad there for Redbox Instant. Go through there to sign up for your free month, and you'll help us out.
You know what? I'm even going to put the ad right at the bottom of this post to make it nice and easy for you. Help us out, and you get some movies to boot. It's a win-win.
Win-win for sure. Matt, Eye for an Eye this week, The Counselor. The film tells the story of a greedy lawyer known only as The Counselor who finds himself in over his head when he decides to delve into the dark world of drug trafficking. Along the way, we meet his naive girlfriend, a seedy middleman, a mysterious and dangerous couple, and a prison inmate he represents. The film stars Michael Fassbender, Brad Pitt, Penelope Cruz, Cameron Diaz, Javier Bardem, and is directed by Ridley Scott. Matt, interested or ignore on The Counselor?
Oh, big interested. This movie's cast is absolutely crazy. It sort of reminds me of a Vanilla Sky because maybe it's the Cameron Diaz and Penelope Cruz connection. But I'm ready for this movie, dude.
Couldn't agree more. Totally interested in this one. The cast sells you.
Yeah.
You got to love Fassbender lately. Brad Pitt, Javier Bardem looks just ridiculous in here. And I mean that in a good way.
for sure.
Directed by Ridley Scott. I'm pumped to check this one out. Two strong interests for The Counselor.
And you know, it's funny because on our last episode with the Rot Guys, Dorian expressed his man love for Michael Fassbender. And I've been finding that this is not just an isolated thing with Dorian. Like, everywhere across the internet, whenever somebody mentions a dude who's, you know, ostensibly a straight dude mentions Michael Fassbender, it's always like with like gushy, crushy man love attached.
What's with that?
I don't know, man.
Do you have a theory?
I don't have a theory. I mean, he is dreamy. He is dreamy. But there have been dreamy dudes before. I don't know what Fassbender has. I'm going to look into it, Rye.
Yeah, look into that. Get back to me.
I will. I'll let you know.
I like it. Two strong interesteds for The Counselor. And obviously, he is a lawyer in the film. And that got me thinking, best movie lawyers. And we need to tackle best law movies, best courtroom dramas at some point. But we need the right guest. But I threw this out to the Jawheads, and I want to get your opinion. When you're thinking best movie lawyer, you got one that pops to your head, Matt.
You want the truth?
I don't think I can handle the truth.
You can't handle the truth. I mean, I don't know if he's the best movie lawyer, but one of my favorite law movies was, you know, A Few Good Men. So I'd say Tom Cruise, Demi Moore, and Kevin Pollak, the three of them. That team of lawyers, I think, were a few of my favorites.
And that is clearly one of the best courtroom scenes in movie history.
Yeah.
And he really sells you as a lawyer there. He's yelling right at Big Jack on the stand.
The truth? Oh. I think I deserve it. Yep. You know, like,
you want answers? I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
Oh, it's so great. And he does finally coax him into saying that he did order the code red.
Did you order the code red?
I did the job.
Did you order the code red?
You're goddamn right I did.
Yeah.
For me, for my money, I threw a total goofball out there. I just saw the movie Bernie not too long ago.
And
the second half has Matthew McConaughey as the lawyer.
He's the DA. He's the DA, isn't he?
He's the lawyer trying to...
He's the prosecutor.
Yeah, the prosecutor. But he's a lawyer. It's all a form of a lawyer.
Yeah, no, I think he's the DA, which is district attorney.
There you go. So he's obviously trying to catch Bernie. You know, and he has this great line in there where he's talking about like how Bernie went to the theater and he butchers Les Mis by calling it the Les Miserables, or he says it's so
miserables.
Funny. It's so hilarious. Yeah. McConaughey on his bounce back. If you haven't seen Bernie, I highly recommend checking it out.
It's a good movie.
Now, I just threw this out to the Jawheads on Twitter. Matt, did we get any responses?
We did. Matt, who is I Have a Boomstick on Twitter, said, Rick Moranis in Ghostbusters 2. Aren't all lawyers evil Gozerian devil dogs who want to help drag the world into hell? Yeah.
Well said.
Pretty much.
And he was a lawyer in that? I couldn't even remember that he was a lawyer.
You know, it's funny because when we started talking about this, I thought we were talking Ghostbusters 1, and I thought he was a financial advisor or a stockbroker or something like that. So maybe we throw this in the jaw box.
Throw it into the jaw box. Elias will find an answer for us.
What was his occupation in Ghostbusters 2 specifically? Okay. Mark Herney said, my favorite film lawyer is Cinema's worst lawyer in Vincent Gambini, Joe Pesci, and My Cousin Vinny. First date with my wife, he says.
Oh, wow.
Hashtag.
Hey, nice.
Yeah.
Oh, that was the hashtag.
Yeah.
Oh, nice hashtag. That's where he famously calls him a ute.
Yeah, a ute. And the judge is actually Herman Munster.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, dude.
I forgot that.
Yeah, for sure.
Oh, and of course,
one of his last great roles.
And Ralph Macchio. Oh, boy.
And one Marissa of his Tomei. Last great roles, too.
Oh, man.
Marissa Tomei won an Oscar for
she
My Cousin
absolutely
Vinny.
Did, yep.
We were all scratching our heads on that one, but, you know, she turned out to be a good actress.
She did.
Let's see. David Einling, I'm guessing here. It is at David A-Y-L-I-N-G.
I'll go with it.
Yeah. Said, gotta be Vinny Gambini. No. Yes.
Nailed it.
I would agree.
We threw this out rather late, so we only got a few responses. Jawheads, if we missed your favorite lawyer, shoot us a tweet, at CinemaJaw. We'll retweet it and get the discussion going.
Sounds good.
Now, speaking of new movies, Matt, I got out and caught Enough Said.
So you're a masseuse?
I am.
What is it that you do?
I'm a poet.
And I'm a dreamer.
No, really, I am.
Oh, you really a poet?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
This is Albert.
Hey. Hi. How's it going?
You know, my friend Eva was just telling me that there is not one guy at this party that she's attracted
what?
To.
What?
It's okay. There's no one here I'm attracted to either.
All right. Great.
Some guy you met at the party wants your number.
Hi.
Hi.
Oh, did I get the day wrong?
No. Why?
Because you're wearing your pajamas?
It's Sunday. I'd like to be comfortable.
Oh, good.
Julia Louis-Dreyfus and James Gandolfini star in this well-written romantic comedy. And those are tough to come by, it seems. Elaine, I mean, Julia Louis-Dreyfus, plays Eva, a single mom whose day job is that of a masseuse. Attending a party one night, she meets Marianne, played by Catherine Keener, who would like to become a client of hers. But she also meets Albert, played by Gandolfini, a divorced guy who asks her out on a date. Little does she know that Albert's ex-wife is her new client, Marianne. After listening to Marianne bitch about her ex-husband, Eva starts putting two and two together. Will someone's opinion, even if it is an ex-wife, ruin a new relationship of hers? The script is smart and fresh. A side storyline being that both lead characters are sending their daughters off to college and will both be empty nesters. The film takes an interesting look as like Eva actually starts to, I guess, get close to one of her daughter's friends as she tries to fill that upcoming void. Julia Louis-Dreyfus, meanwhile, proves she is one of the most likable actresses working today, and this strong role just opens up the question, why is she not in more movies? This is James Gandolfini's last role, and Matt, I felt sad knowing that was the case. A great actor who left us too soon, and you really get that on the screen in this movie. Wish we got more from him. A quality rom-com seems to be a difficult thing for Hollywood. Enough said is just that. It is a movie most everyone will enjoy. Ride the Movie Guy's grade, 3 Jaws.
This is definitely high on my 2C list.
Yes, know? This is a great one you can bring the wife to, Matt.
Okay, I mean, I like rom-coms. I mean, you know, why not?
Yeah, and as I was mentioning here, Julia Louis-Dreyfus being such a likable character. Obviously, everybody knows her from being Elaine on Seinfeld, and she has that same type of goofy likability, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Does she play her Lane character? You were kind of alluding to maybe that she does.
I mean, it's a little bit, for me, she's so branded as Elaine in my head. That's how I know her. When she comes on, I just think, Lainey!
Yeah, maybe that's why she hasn't been in more movies, you know?
Yeah, well, you know what was funny is I actually heard her on Sirius XM radio, and she was asked that same exact question. I thought, boy, this guy's reading my mind. Good question. And she went on to say it really has a lot to do with her family and her kids, that she didn't want to do like location shoots or, you know, long days doing film.
Well, she's got to be set for life from Seinfeld money.
Oh, you would imagine. And no? she's went on to do other things. I haven't seen this Veep, but she just won an Emmy for that. And Old Adventures of New Christine.
Yeah, so she's been in a few. New Adventures of Old Christine.
Yeah, yeah, whatever it is. Sure, she's been in a few of those. So she does have some success after Seinfeld, just not in cinema.
Yeah.
And as for James Gandolfini, RIP, he was excellent in this movie, as he is in most everything.
It is a shame. We'll miss him.
3 Jaws for Enough Said. Check it out, Jawheads. It's a small film, a rom-com. Not a small film, not a rom-com. Gravity is just killing it at the box office. Matt, I gave my 4 Jaw review last week when we were at the Rot Shop.
Yeah.
You caught it this week. Give us a quick review and let's dive into the themes.
Well, actually, I posted a view on our Chicago Now blog, so if you want to check out all of my thoughts on it, I suggest you go there. But what I would basically agree with you. I'm not giving it 4 Jaws. I gave it 3 out of 4. And what held it back largely is the paper-thin story. I mean, this is all about the visuals. I mean, and I think somewhat unapologetically so. This movie raises the bar in every conceivable way visually. Story-wise, I think it played it really safe. From the casting choices, which I understand weren't the first choices of the director, but what he did, I don't want to say settle upon, but what he did choose were very safe casting choices with Clooney and Bullock, who did great, but very safe. I mean, and the story, you know, the survival aspect of it is amazing, but the character aspect of it is lacking.
I hear you. And one thing we had mentioned was Sandra Bullock. Was she annoying? Because you know how much I hate her. I had actually said in my review it was George Clooney early on, him sort of flying around the space shuttle and acting so George Clooney-like in space that it actually was distracting for me. Did you find that to be the case?
No, I didn't find his character to be distracting. I think it was a necessary conceit in order for the story to make sense and work. And Bullock, I thought, was fine in her role. She was, you know, serviceable. Mm-hmm. She was good. This was a good performance from Sandra Bullock, for sure.
Not great.
And she looked great. She looked fantastic in the role. I'm not just talking about when she was in her underwear. I mean, The whole movie, like, I believed her character was an astronaut.
Except for that part where she keeps yelling, what am I supposed to do? What do I do? What do I do? It was a little annoying right when the disaster was taking place and she was flipping around.
Right.
I would have rather her just scream or not be yelling. So George Lucas lines, what do I do?
Yeah. There's a lot of problems with the dialogue. One of the things I said in my post is that the score was absolutely crap. And I may not have said crap in my post, but I'll say it now. It was distracting and hackneyed and did not work whatsoever.
And see, I liked the score at the end.
I didn't like the score at all.
I liked it at the end. I remember it being very powerful.
But the sound design, on the other hand.
Oh, excellent.
Unbelievable. I mean, like, you have to separate the sound and the music, but their use of noise and silence in appropriate times was just unbelievable. It was so cool.
Now, aren't you glad, and let's be honest here, aren't you glad you saw this in the theater?
Oh, yeah. In fact,
Finally, Matt.
Everybody's saying that this is one that you really need to see in 3D. You said it on your review. I've heard a few other reviews since I wrote mine, and I recommend seeing this in 3D. It really adds to it. Because this movie's about space, and 3D is about space, you sort of get that perspective of where you are and how far away things are and how a simple bolt floating away can mean so much when you're up in the atmosphere or the... You know, in space.
Yes.
It's really cool. Now, see in 3D.
For some of the themes we were mentioning, there's this awesome, awesome shot of Sandra Bullock when she gets back into the capsule. And she takes off her spacesuit.
Yeah.
And she sort of curls up into the fetal position. And the cord, as you had mentioned, it almost looks like the
It's an umbilical cord.
Right. From her spacesuit. And it's floating right above her body. And it's a clear image. And it's beautiful on screen, and she's floating there, and it's like you're watching this, you're like, oh, this is a masterpiece. And from that point on...
But they really clobber you with it.
Oh, though. Yeah, but from that point on, the film really does take on this theme of rebirth.
Yeah, and I know that you have some sort of theory. I mean, is this spoilers?
A little bit of spoiler alert. I hope you guys have seen Gravity at this point. This goes... And I don't really even think it's that much of a spoiler, because if you hadn't seen it, and... This is just a theory anyways. Obviously, there's a disaster in space and she's trying to get home. My theory of the rebirth is that Sandra Bullock never even does make it home, that she actually does die in the capsule from the point she hallucinates and sees George Clooney one more time. From that point on, she is actually technically dead. And that everything else is like a symbolism of her rebirth into
the
new life. Yeah, what we perceive as where you go next. Your thoughts?
I think that's interesting. I don't know where you're getting that from. There was nothing that pointed to her being dead.
No, I agree. It's a little bit maybe out there, but two, you got to remember there was never enough communication with Houston on the ground.
No, but it was Houston in the blind. I mean, the whole time. I mean. That was one of the conceits of the movie, the suspension of disbelief. You have to believe that the satellites have all been taken out.
True.
And there's no communication. And that's even before she makes it to the ISS. I mean, like, right when the first disaster hits, they lose contact with Houston, like, 30 seconds later.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I mean, I will say that there's a strong rebirth theme throughout the movie. I mean, it's obviously, you find this out in the trailer, so not a spoiler. Like, she's had a kid in the past. The kid is something that's an emotional anchor for her.
Correct.
You know, I don't want to give too much away, but so the whole thing is about children and childbirth and whatnot. And I think when she's coming down on the pod, you know, when she opens the door in the ocean and all that water comes in, it just felt like emerging from the womb, you know, with the breaking of the water and stuff. I don't know. Maybe I'm reading too much into it. And she crawls before she walks and this and that.
Yeah, I mentioned on Twitter, this is probably the first movie I want to see a second time in the theater, because I just think that if I wait for it to come out on Blu-ray, and even if it is 3D Blu-ray, having it at home will be nice to view it in 3D. Just won't be the same as seeing it on the big screen. So I'd like it out and see it a second time.
I think it's worth going to the IMAX theater, and I may go down to Navy Pier and check this out in 3D IMAX.
So you gave it 3 jaws?
I gave it 3 jaws. The story is what holds it back from a 4 full jaw.
And I gave it 4 jaws. Shoot us a tweet if you've seen Gravity. Let us know what you think. We'll retweet it and get a discussion going.
Last thing I'll say, if Bullock or Clooney get nominated for this in any way, I will feel robbed. There's no Oscar-worthy performances in this film, aside from the special effects and the visuals.
Oh, man. Well, speaking of great performances, I just wanted to give a quick update, Jawheads. We are right now, as we are recording this, in the middle of the Chicago International Film Festival, and I've been out there 3 times, and I'm going to give more thorough reviews as we get closer to the release date for these films. Up first, we had the festival open up with James Gray's The Immigrant, which stars Marion Cotillard, and it was a big-time disappointment, actually.
Oh, really?
Hmm. Yeah. It has Jeremy Renner. It's obviously a period piece, and I think...
You mean Hawkeye?
Hawkeye. I don't know if Jeremy Renner was the right
Hansel?
Choice there.
He was Hansel, right?
He was Hansel also. I did get out the very next day and caught the film Blue Ruin, which is directed by Jeremy... Oh, boy, I might butcher your last name, Jeremy Soliner. And we're actually reaching out to Jeremy and hoping to get him on the Jaw. Excellent, excellent independent film. Revenge, your kind of movie, Matt.
Oh, nice.
And then just last night, I got out and saw August Osage County.
That I've been hearing great things.
Oh, man. I mean, obviously, I've had this on my target to see for a long time. Doesn't come out till Christmas. I'll have my review as we get closer to the date. The actor there at the screening was Dermot Mulroney. Came out, and him and a couple of producers came on for a Q&A afterwards. And I thought it was interesting that he had talked, he had this great analogy when he talked about Meryl Streep and her performance and acting with her. There's this great dinner scene in the film, and he had first mentioned that was probably the closest he had been to greatness in his career. He felt like, wow, we're doing something special here. It was a 20-minute scene. He said it took about 4 days to shoot, and everybody, when you come out of seeing this movie, is going to be talking about this dinner scene. It's that great.
Wow.
And then he went on to use this analogy. When it comes to Meryl Streep, she's like that amp in Spinal Tap. All actors can go to, when they're at their absolute best, about a 10. But Meryl, she could go to 11.
Yeah.
And it was great. The audience just loved it. And he talked about how great she is and what a movie. And like I say, I'll review it when we get closer to the release date.
That's awesome, dude. Great quote, too.
It was great. It was great. Now, me and Matt got in the car with our engineer, because Elias couldn't get down all the way down to Joliet, Illinois, and this is about an hour's drive
Romeoville,
for us. Is it Romeoville?
It's out there.
Yeah. And once we get out to the sticks of the city, I don't know where the hell we're at anymore,
yeah,
Matt.
Yeah, same here.
We had the GPS going. It was dark. I was scared already.
Yeah, it's on Weber Road.
Yes, and we drove out onto Weber Road, and we went to Statesville Haunted Prison.
Yeah.
And we went through the haunted house, and right after we did the haunted house, we went into the back room and had a chance to interview John LaFlamboy. So check it out. John LaFlamboy is joining us.
Yeah.
He has been on Cinema Jaw twice before, once as a guest at the back room of Mothers, but we also invaded one of his zombie parties over at...
That was at Excalibur, which is now Castle.
It was a great time. I remember having you guys. I think my favorite part is every time we do something, there's always a beer in hand. One of my favorite parts about your show. It's classy.
It's a tradition.
Well, welcome back to Cinema Jaw, John.
Thanks, guys.
So Statesville Haunted Prison is an institution when it comes to haunted houses here in Illinois. I just read online, and correct me if I'm wrong, it has been like voted in the top 5 at least in Illinois for something like 15 straight years.
Yeah, you know, out of the last, 14 years, we've won Best Haunted House in Illinois 12 out of the 14 years. So we've been holding on to that number one spot for a while, and we do our very best to make sure that people love the show.
So 14 years you've been involved with Statesville?
Yeah, 15 years. 15 years, yeah. I mean, in the beginning, we were not going to win any awards. All we had was garbage, no money, and a handful of my friends from college. So in the beginning, it was a very dirty affair that we had to kind of build up from.
And it's really grown. I mean, the space here is just massive.
Yeah, now there's two haunts. We just went through the haunted house, and it was amazing, dude. And it takes about an hour to get through them, and they're terrifying, man. I mean, you've got like... Like 100 actors in there or something like that?
I got about 170 inside both haunted houses and over 25 managers.
I Matt, like you said, we just went through the haunted houses, and I held your hand most of the way through. I have to say, Jawheads, it is the most impressive production-wise haunted house I've ever seen. It blows anything else I've ever been to.
Yeah.
Out of water. It's amazing. Amazing stuff you do.
I love having you guys here. This is great. Please go on.
Yeah. So you were always involved in I guess, haunted houses, scaring people. This was your thing right when you came out of college. It was a passion for you.
Yeah, you know, when I'm a theater student, you know, at heart, I'm a theater guy. And back when I was in high school, you know, in this area, I actually graduated from Lockport High School over there. I always thought a theater company, a theater group, should produce a haunted house. It made perfect sense to me that haunted houses are just another form of theater. And when I went to college, I pitched that idea. And my theater group, you know, did a fundraiser and did a, you know, it used to be a shoe store in the mall. And we had four rooms, so it was very tiny. But, you know, in 2 weeks, we made $900 into $6,000. And as a bunch of theater students who don't have the greatest financial outlook, that was inspiring. So, yeah, I graduated and I wrote my little pretend thesis, my business plan, and this farm was the first place I came to pitch my idea. And that was 1998, right out of college. I was a carpenter swinging a hammer on a job site and came here and showed the farmer my pictures and my plan. And he said, here's the building. And I've been here ever since.
You know, wow. And it should be mentioned that we're actually in the Nerve Center. We're backstage at Statesville Haunted Prison. And John is sitting here in a costume. He's got one contact in.
Yeah, you had said when we met you back here was that you run through the haunted house. He's in full blown makeup.
It's comeback year.
You're answering emails in the office like this. You're talking to people on the phone, making sure everything runs accordingly.
Sure, yeah. It's one of these things where, you know, I learned in the haunted house business there was never a guidebook as to how to do anything. So you just kind of learn as you go. And you know, so as I learned, I ended up turning into, you know, the marketing guy, the social media guy, the insurance guy, the legal guy, the advertising guy. But also, I'm the one that puts on a costume and directs the show and makes sure that my designs and my actors are doing what I intend them to do. Because I tell you what, you got 176 creative people in there. Sometimes they don't do what they're told to do. So, yeah, I get my costume on every night and I get in there and I work with them.
So the Jawheads that live in the Chicagoland area, I am telling you, this is a must visit.
Yeah, within, I would say, 100 miles, you should come out to Statesville Haunted Prison. It's worth the drive.
And if you're and if you're one of the Jawheads that are not in the area, check out the Travel Channel this year. Halloween's Craziest comes out October 13th. The Travel Channel came all the way to Statesville and chose us as Halloween's Craziest Haunted House for their show. And, yeah, we're going to be on the Travel Channel nationally this October.
That's so awesome, dude.
We're real excited about that.
Do you know when that airs?
Yeah, the 13th of October, I believe, is the premiere of that.
Awesome.
That's really cool.
So how many people go through this haunted house every season? Do you have a rough number? Because it's got to be impressive.
Tens of thousands. Tens and tens of thousands. Lots and lots of people.
And I have to applaud you on how well you guys coordinate the whole thing, too. As we just went through, you guys set it all up like in this like boot camp cages. It really gets
it's like
you.
Like a prison, yeah.
Yeah, it really gets you pumped, you know? It's like you get a little fear in ahead of time. And separate it for being this big, you still get that sort of intimate feel of the haunted house going through in small groups.
That's what, you know, it's one of our goals. You know, it's no one likes to go through a haunted house in a cattle line, you know, and that was always one of my criticisms when I was younger going through haunted houses is it's not real scary if you're just going through like a cattle line. So we work real hard here to split people up in groups because things are a lot scarier when you're in a group of five, you know, and you don't see anyone in front of you and anyone behind you except all of these convicts coming at you. Yeah, it's a lot more intimidating when you're so outnumbered. So and you know, we do have the luxury of being a haunted prison. Because we get to treat you like shit.
Yes.
I mean, it's like you're in a prison. We don't have to apologize.
People are yelling at you.
You're nothing but meat here. So, yeah, we have fun with that. You know, we have fun with the concept. And really, it's all so that we can accomplish the goal of splitting you up in small groups so you have a better show. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like everyone's always like, why are you yelling at us? And we're like, because it's a prison, not Disney World. but at the core, it's just because we want you to have a great show.
Yeah. And so there's two haunted houses on the site here. There is Statesville Haunted Prison and the City of the...
The City of the Dead. City of the Dead is the burial pit for all of the dead prisoners. Go through a lot of prisoners. So the warden sends them all over to City of the Dead where he's got his chain gang just digging a hole in the ground and dropping bodies in. Mm-hmm. The only problem is that one of the convicts was a dark magician and has decided to raise all those zombies or all those dead people from the grave and turn them into zombies. So those poor miners over there, you know, they kill a zombie, they bury a zombie, The zombie comes back to life. Then they got to kill it, put it back in the ground. It's a never-ending cycle.
It's a vicious cycle.
Oh,
yeah.
Poor. It's like Sisyphus.
So when people come out here, can they go to each separately if they wanted to, or is it always just one package?
Always just one package. We feel that it's the total show. You know, even though it's two haunted houses, it's still one concept. So you buy one ticket for both shows. And, you know, it's one ticket for $30. You know, mm-hmm. And you're getting two full-size haunted houses. We're not like some of those other guys that will take one haunted house and split it in half and call it two. These are two full-size haunted houses.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, it's really like one giant show with a break in it, you know?
Yeah.
You get to come out for a breath of fresh air.
Yeah, for a moment. Yeah. You get that moment to stop sweating, take a deep breath, and then get right back in the hole.
You thought it was over, but you were wrong.
So what are the days and hours here over at the Statesville Haunted Prison?
Well, we're open Thursdays through Sundays. We open at 7 o'clock every night. On Thursdays and Sundays, we close at 10. On Friday and Saturday, 11 p.m. All the way until November 2nd. And also that Halloween weekend, we're going to be open Wednesday as well. The night before, the eve of Halloween.
Nice. And is it best for the Jawheads listening to this to buy their tickets online before they come here?
You know, I always recommend getting your tickets online is great. Also, get tickets for Thursday night. I beg people to come Thursday night. No matter what night it is, we still deliver the greatest show we could put together.
Mm-hmm.
The only difference is on a Thursday night, you know, there's only a few hundred people in that tent. On a Saturday night, it's crazy town up in here.
Uh-huh.
So if you can come on a Thursday, the lines are much shorter. We get to put you in smaller groups inside. We get to have a lot more fun playing with you. My actors love Thursdays because we really get to have some fun with the audience. We get to take more time.
Sure.
So if you can come on a Thursday, trust me, it's a treat. We get to have fun on Thursdays.
And speaking of a treat, if you are a Jawhead that's stuck in the city, you don't have a car that can get all the way out here to Statesville, you have expanded your haunt and moved over to Navy Pier. You have an operation there called the Fear Haunted House.
Yeah. We have another show, the Fear Haunted House at Navy Pier. We did that for 3 years ago. 3 years starting in 08. It was 08, 09, and 10. And Navy Pier requested to bring us back. So we're back at Navy Pier, and we're doing the Fear show again. And, you know, we had a lot of fun, a lot of success when we were there. We won a bunch of awards, and, you know, people seem to really love the show. So we are back, and we're excited. It's going to be a lot of fun. It's great. You know, it's great to be doing a haunted house and to look at the skyline of Chicago. I'm a Chicago guy at heart. So when I get to look at the skyline while I'm working outside, it's great.
And is that also open Thursday through Sunday?
Yes, absolutely. Same hours.
And there's another reason why we like to talk to John. He's also a film director and writer, and his movie, The Mole Man of Belmont Avenue, just recently got put on Netflix streaming, right?
Yeah, well, you know, we got Netflix. We also are on iTunes, and you can also get the DVD on Amazon. I recommend the DVD because we've got the director's commentary in the DVD in which we play a drinking game for every time Mike Bradish and I drop the F-bomb, we drink. So if you ever want to hear two director, writer, producers just get smashed watching and talking about their own movie, oh boy, we did that.
It's funny because you pretty much drink the whole time in the movie too.
I think we might have a drinking problem. I'm not sure. There's a lot of evidence out there. We're still waiting for the jury to come back on that one.
And have you seen it?
You know, I started watching it today once you informed me that it was on Netflix.
It's a great horror comedy. Robert Englund is in it, which is. You know, I remember when we had John before talking about how you managed to get Robert Englund. That was a great story. I don't know if you want to reiterate it.
Well, yeah, you know, it's I remember when we started our movie, you know, it's our first feature film, and we wrote this script, and we were happy with the script. We brought it to a casting agency, and that we, you know, I'm an actor, Mike's an actor, and we know these wonderful folks at PR Casting because we go audition for them, and we gave it to them and said, hey, what do you think? Maybe you could help us out. And they read it, and they liked it, and they said, you know, give us your wish list. And we're like, okay, and we start talking about all of our friends, local friends, and they're like, no, your wish list. And we were like kids in a candy store. You know, we got to pick our favorite people in Chicago and give them our wish list. And I wanted Robert Englund. You know, it's, you know, growing up, Robert Englund to me, you know, is that horror icon. And when I was exposed to him, I was a kid. And I remember the evolution of Freddy. You know, he's funny. I thought he always had these great one-liners. And I thought he brought a great great style of comedy to horror films. And so that was something I wanted. You know, I wanted that comedy in my eyes. Robert is an incredibly funny man when he's killing people. So I wanted him in our comedy horror. And I threw it out there. And, man, we never thought in a million years we'd ever get Robert Englund. We thought that was silly talk. But yeah, we tried. And the next thing we knew, we're on the phone with him. And he was talking to us about the part and how much he loved the part and how much he had already invested himself into it, even to the point of the costumes. Like, he told us exactly what he wanted that suit to be, exactly what color he wanted his hat. He knew more about his character than we knew about the character. We wrote it. So, yeah, we were like, oh, Robert's really on board. So, yeah, I was really excited.
I would actually be awesome. Afraid to meet Robert Englund because I think of him as Freddy Krueger. Was there any of that when you first met him? You were like, oh, my God, this is Freddy Krueger.
You know, I got to geek out here for a minute. No, it was, oh my God, it's Willy from V.
Right.
When I was a kid, I fell in love yeah, with that character. Yes. I remember just loving that character in V. And so Robert Englund to me will always be Willy, the nice alien in V. So
right,
part of me like always sees him as that, you know? So yeah, that's...
They tried
everyone
to remake...
else is talking about Nightmare on Elm Street, and I'm just right, like, tell me more about V.
They tried to remake V, a TV show
they
or something.
Yeah.
That had to be junk.
Yeah.
I love the original.
I tried so hard to watch it.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
And, you know, too, I wanted to also talk about, right before we started recording, you were talking about how long you go into setting up a haunted house. A lot of people would probably think, a couple weeks before Halloween, maybe a month and a half.
Yeah, you know, it's there's a lot of misconceptions about the haunted house industry right there. They're just saying the haunted house industry.
And I think by you about to tell us how much work goes into this, it explains the Jawheads, how great of a product this is.
Well, yeah, you know, so we're sitting here right now and it's October. You know, it's my opening weekend in October. We're already working on designs for next year. We've already got the conceptual designs finished. We've already started budgeting next year's build. And we will start next year's build 3 days after this show closes. We clean up
so November 3rd.
And immediately we start tearing down the stuff that we want gone, because we tear down 30% every year. 30% of these rooms go away, and we come up with new, innovative ways to entertain and scare the hell out of people.
That's got to be like killing your kids, right? I mean, like... You put so much work into these rooms.
You know, yeah, in a way, though. But in a way, it's also like, you know, it's making your kids better. You know, like when you need to send your kid to reform school.
Send them to boot camp.
You know, or yeah, send them to boot camp. Or you know, it's we're making them better, you know. And that's the thing. It's like, well, the outdoor yard is our new design next year. And I love the outdoor yard. Yeah, I'm emotionally attached to it. But I know we can do better. I built that thing 4 years ago, and in 4 years, we have traveled across this country. We have looked at some of the best haunted houses out there. We've taken classes at conventions across the country. We study relentlessly at new ways to entertain and scare people in a haunted house. And to leave a room that we did 4 years ago would be admitting that we haven't learned anything. And so our goal is to always push the limit, always push the boundary, always find a new way to get at someone. And if we're not doing that every year, then we're failing. You know, that's our goal, is to always push ourselves. You know, sometimes it blows up in our face. Literally, sometimes it blows up.
Wow.
And that's happened. You know, we will be here doing the full build. We go to the convention in March, and then we shovel our way through the snow to open the doors in March, and we start building full-time, 40 hours a week, crew of 8 to 12, all the way until we open. We're working on new stuff.
That is crazy.
It's impressive.
That is devotion, Matt.
Yeah, hell yeah.
That's why we can go through it and say, this is the best haunted house that we've ever been to.
Yep.
Well, you know what? We're real fortunate. We got great fans. You know, we have people that really love the show. They come back every year. Mm-hmm. Last night, I had two kids that I found out in the mini midway. It was our third night open. They had already bought 12 tickets.
Wow.
They had already gone through the haunted house three times each night at $30 a pop. And then played Zombie Hunt and the Severed Head Toss and just hang out. And I had to meet them. I'm like, guys, I heard you've been here all weekend. And they're like, we just love it. We wait all year for this. We watch you online. You know, I put lots of stuff out online. We have a reality web series called Days of the Living Dead. And, you know, you can go to our website, daysoftheLivingDead.com, and we put out 12 episodes, reality web series of behind the scenes at Statesville, the build, the design, the run of the show. And these kids are hooked on it. They love it.
Uh-huh.
And anytime, you know, we're, you know, on a, say, an 18-hour day, you know, and we're dying, you know, we're tired. We haven't, you know, we haven't eaten, we haven't slept. We think of those kids, you know, we think of those kids that love this show. And we remember that's who we're doing it for. You know, it's not about doing it as a job. We're entertaining people.
Mm-hmm.
And these people keep coming back. Yeah. And they keep coming back because we keep giving them something. So it's that constant battle to, you know, and we have one kid. He's a super fan. His name is Donnie. And Donnie, I mean, he posts stuff. He's 12 years old. And he is nuts online posting stuff about us on a regular basis. So backstage, we always go, do it for Donnie. Right around hour 15,
yeah,
when nice. We're exhausted and strung out, we just look at each other, do it for Donnie. Do it for, what would Donnie do? Donnie would dig deep. So it's like, yeah. And because we have those fans, we keep giving them as much as we got. And
yeah.
they keep coming back. And as long as they come back, we'll keep doing it.
And some of the rooms, I mean, obviously you're getting scared. So you sort of want to like go through because you're startled. And you, that's what you're just naturally want to do. But at the same time, I loved looking around to take it all in. There was a part where a guy drops from the ceiling by chain, and he's half a body and his guts are hanging out the bottom of half. Then you look below because it catches
like a
your
shower
attention
stall.
And you see the rest of his body laying in the shower. It's like, oh my God, is that gross.
The clown doctor room.
Oh, I love the detail, man. It was awesome. Thanks. So it's part of it is, as much as I am scared, I just want to like stand there and look at everything that's going on in the room at the same time.
Yeah. The attention to detail is impeccable, dude.
And one thing we missed that I don't know if this is new, but John here has an area where you can go shoot zombies in a cornfield with a paint gun.
Yeah, we have two different things here. You know, we have the zombie hunt shooting gallery out front.
How awesome
where
is that?
You get
are these live actors?
Oh yeah.
Oh
yeah,
my
yeah,
god.
Yeah.
How do you get that job? You draw the short straw.
You got to be the one that needs that money. No, we have these special design paintball guns. They're shotguns, and we have special design paintballs that don't hurt the actor. Because they only travel 30 feet.
Okay.
So it works out in a shooting gallery. The actor doesn't feel it at all. It's a specially designed helmet with a zombie mask built onto the helmet so that the actor is 100% protected, doesn't feel it at all. I tested it myself because I wasn't going to put a kid in that costume unless I took some shots.
Yeah.
And I didn't feel a thing.
But now, the idea is like you go out on a truck and your truck gets sabotaged by zombies.
Yeah,
you're blowing them away with the pink gun.
Yeah, that's the second one we have. Now, that's totally different. That is a full-on Army carrier truck, the legit thing, rigged up with 16 paintball guns, and you're going out to four different scenes out there in the woods. I mean, it's dark, it's scary, and you got zombies running at the trucks, and you got to shoot them, you got to blast them, and it's fun. It's a blast. I mean,
how awesome is that, Matt?
Yeah, that sounds really cool.
I had one kid drop $100 just on the zombie shooting gallery the other day, and I had to ask him, like, dude, you dropped $100 on something that only costs $5 a try. And I'm like, why? He's like, I just love shooting zombies.
Yes.
I was like, all right, work those issues out right here, buddy.
So again, Chicago Jawheads, get out to Statesville Haunted Prison, open Thursday through Sunday. Like we said, me and Matt just went through it. I held Matt's hand for 90% of it, scared like you wouldn't believe.
I cried like a little girl. That's absolutely not true, by the way. This guy was holding on to his girlfriend's coattails the whole way through the house.
And to buy your tickets online ahead of time and come out and have a blast and shoot some zombies.
Thursday nights.
Yes,
yeah.
That's the key. And again, for the ones that are locked up in the city, go out to Navy Pier. Fear the Haunted House is also open Thursday through Sunday, the rest of October. So have a blast with it.
Yeah, come on out, guys. Get your scream on.
So what we got to thank John for stopping by. What he's going to do is take off for a little while. He's going to go scare some people in the Haunted House. Then John is coming right back, though, Matt, in about 5-10 minutes to judge a cinema war, zombies versus vampires.
Hmm.
And he is also taking you on in horror remake movie trivia.
Okay.
All right. We'll be right back on Cinema Jaw.
Thank you.
Oh, that John LaFlamboy's great, isn't he?
He's an absolute master of his craft.
He is. And, of course, John is coming back to judge our Cinema War Zombies versus Vampires and also yourself versus John in horror movie remake movie trivia.
You're going down, and then he's going down. That's my prediction.
We'll see. We'll see. Because it is our Halloween special, and because we went to Statesville Haunted Prison, we are covering our top five scariest movie settings.
Yeah.
Matt, you're getting us started this week. What do you got sitting at number five?
All right. As I like to do, Rye, I'm coming out strong with The Cabin from Evil Dead 2. You can say Evil Dead, Evil Dead 2. But my personal favorite, I like Evil Dead 2 just a little bit more. I think it's actually Sam Raimi's, I think it's his masterpiece.
Really?
I mean, like Spider-Man aside, and Spider-Man's not really a masterpiece.
Spider-Man 2, maybe?
Spider-Man 2, maybe. But it doesn't hold a candle to the Evil Dead. So this was the original Cabin in the Woods. So you know, there have been so many movies that have come afterwards that have emulated this setting, like almost to a T. They look so similar. The movie Cabin in the Woods,
right.
Cabin Fever, Tucker and Dale versus Evil. There's a ton of them that take place in this cabin in the woods, and this is the film series that started that out. So.
Good pick, good pick. And a cabin in the woods is scary. Let's just be honest.
It's creepy as all hell.
That's a nice number five. And at number five, I come strong also. I might be stealing one off your list because I know how much you like this movie. You've talked about it in the past. I am talking about the island as a whole and the psych ward in Shutter Island.
I toyed with this a lot, yes. And nice.
There
not
is,
on my list.
There is something about, I think, the weather out there on the East Coast. It's just sort of terrifying that they go to this island that has this psych ward, and they're alone.
Right.
You know what I mean? There's no way back off this island, and all this creepy stuff starts happening to DiCaprio and Mark Ruffalo. And I think it's an underrated Scorsese film. It wasn't given enough praise for what we had both thought was a great twist and a twist that had some meaning to it that was sad and made the film for me. Instead of just being that twist ending like, aha, I fooled you, it really told the story of this troubled character and sort of the troubled past he's had to go through.
Yeah, I agree. And probably one of the greatest modern film noirs, and nobody's talking about that either.
Yeah,
I thought it was great.
I couldn't agree more. The island in Shutter Island, my number five. Into our fours, Matt.
Okay, this one may be a little bit of a cheat because it's not necessarily a location or a setting, but once we are enveloped in the mist, one of the creepiest settings of all time, it's like the fog sort of overtakes them, you know? And there's all these monsters and I mean, demon-like insects and stuff in the mist is so terrifying.
It is. Well, you know what's funny about that movie? I wasn't a huge fan of the whole supermarket scene. I liked it, but I would say at that point in the movie, I was watching it, and I thought, like, this is like a C+ type movie. It wasn't until that ending when they're out in the mist that it elevated it for me. And
that's
course,
only like the last 10 minutes of
the film. I know, but it was outrageous and terrifying, like you had mentioned.
Yeah.
And, of course, the ending really makes the entire movie.
Yeah.
How tragic that is.
It does.
All right, Matt. Nice pick. At number four, for me, I go with the Nicole Kidman film. Got knocked out of our horror movie challenge rather early, first round. But I love the setting of the haunt, the house, the large mansion in The Others.
Okay.
Yeah, and there's a lot of great haunted houses when
there's
you're talking
lot,
about
yeah.
them. You know, and I could have went Amityville, which may pop up on somebody's list here.
Yeah.
But what I loved about The Others was that they made the house such a character in the movie. If you'll recall, they had all these weird rules where you had to close one door in the house before you could open up the other door. There could be no light in the house because they couldn't see in. They didn't want the sunlight into the house. So there was a lot of like creepy aspects of the house as they went through it. That's why for The Others, it sort of played out more so of a character than just being the creepy haunted house that it can be in some films.
That was an interesting original take on haunted houses, so I'll give it to you.
Thank you. Thank you for giving me that one. We're into our threes, Matt. What do you got sitting there?
At number three, I have one that is potentially too low. This could easily be a number one. I'm talking about the Overlook Hotel.
Wow, a number three? I am a little shocked it's that high.
I think I have two above it that are worthy, but the Overlook Hotel with that hedge maze, you know? I mean, the hedge maze could be its own horror setting, you know? Right. I mean, like, especially in the dead of winter, the place gets isolated, completely cut off from the world, and you come to find out that there have been some horrible things that have happened here in the past, like murders and stuff like that. You know, the murders of children, which is always horrible. And the master filmmaker Stanley Kubrick tells this story in such a way that the hotel is just so ominous and dark, and you really feel like this place is bad.
Talk about a character in the movie.
Yeah, you didn't want to be there, you know?
Right.
And the poor Torrances are trapped.
I agree. Great pick. And we just reviewed Room 237, so
yeah.
Perfect timing. At number three for me, this is a film I saw when I was young, and I was probably too young to see it, never since then. This location has freaked me out, especially at night. Came out in 1984. I am speaking about The Cornfields in Children of the Corn.
Ooh. So you don't like going into corn mazes?
I really don't, and it could still freak me out. I've been in a few corn mazes, and I've been stuck in a few corn mazes, and it's always fun and games, you know? Went with my girlfriend a couple of years ago and a few friends, and well, we're having a good time, and then all of a sudden we can't get out, and in the back of my head, it starts freaking me out. Like, all right, it's enough. Get me out of here. I'm starting to get in a panic mode.
Where's Hezekiah and he who lives behind the rose? Or what was the demon called?
Yeah, it is. It is that.
Something like that.
Oh, my goodness. It is so creepy. And there's that scarecrow. And there's so many. And I've caught Children of the Corn 3. And you know who's in the first one is Linda Hamilton.
Really?
I believe so. Throw it in the jawbox. Linda Hamilton in the first Children of the Corn. I'm almost positive.
Well, as long as you're throwing that in there, is it also He Who Lives Behind the Rose? I want to know.
I believe it is.
The demon.
Okay. I like that. That was my number three, The Cornfields. It always scared the hell out of me, Matt.
Yeah, they're scary.
And there's cornfields out by Statesville Haunted Prison.
There are.
We started driving by cornfields, and it's night. I thought, what the hell are we doing out here?
I'm surprised they don't do a corn maze. They do some really cool stuff out there, which we're going to talk about, but
yeah.
Not a corn maze.
What do you got sitting at number two?
Okay, my number two, I have an absolute classic staple of horror, Camp Crystal Lake.
Oh!
Now, the reason this, I think, is you know, better than the Overlook Hotel is because there have been so many visits back to Camp Crystal Lake. It's made so many sequels. Some of them have really, really sucked.
Terrible.
Yeah, but some of them have been awesome. And I think it kind of throw it back to Cabin in the Woods. It's a bit of a similar setting, but, you know, you got the lake, and there's more to it. It's that summer camp feeling, you know? When your parents would send you to summer camp, it's scary because your parents aren't there. You kind of feel like that loss of control, like anything could happen. And every camp in America has this legend, you know, whether it's Jason Voorhees or something. Did you go to camp?
I did not.
You never went to camp?
No. I was blessed with a summer home my grandparents had. So I did go out, you know, went out to the lake and did all the fun stuff.
Uh-huh.
But it wasn't quite camp. It was like a family home. So
I went to summer camp, two different ones, and they both had their own legend. And I think this is like ubiquitous. Every summer camp has its legend. And the legend of Jason Voorhees was fantastic. Of course, in that first movie, it actually turned out to be his mom committing the murders. Amazing. The first Friday the 13th movie, one of the best horror films of all time.
That you were a camp kid explains so much about you, Matt.
That you weren't explains a lot about you.
Oh, good stuff. At number two, scary movie settings, I have 2007, The Orphanage, in the movie The Orphanage.
Nice.
And an orphanage, if it's a closed-down orphanage and horrific things have happened there, and now they're going to reopen the orphanage, and this time they're going to do it for children that have disabilities, it's just a creepy setting for all this sort of haunt to take place. And if you haven't seen The Orphanage, it's my pick for the best scary movie. And another reminder, we're doing our 31 Days of Horror on our website. We are into the final round by the time this thing drops. So please get out there and vote. It's my hope that The Orphanage is in the finals because yeah. I love it. And not only is it creepy and the orphanage creeps the hell out of me, but it's an awesome story. And it's a story with a twist, but in a horror and a horrific way too. Love The Orphanage and it freaks the hell out of me.
Cool.
That's my number two. Matt, we're into our ones. What
holy crap setting
scares the hell out of you?
I'm just going to say it, right? I'm just going to, like, blunt force trauma. I'm just going to come out and say it. The Monroeville Mall. This is from the Dawn of the Dead, and while at first it doesn't sound like a scary place,
it doesn't.
No, but it is. It is. It's all about the commercialism. I don't know how to explain it, but George Romero paints this amazing picture with this movie and tells you how commercialism is essentially turning you into a zombie. And for that reason, it does become scary. And plus, in the film itself, it's a ominous, scary place with all the mannequins and the closed shops. It's creepy, a place where you expect there to be a lot of people in commerce, and there's nobody.
Oh, boy.
So I love that setting. The Monroeville Mall is my number one.
Wow. Wow. Did not see that coming from you, Matt. At my number one, a film that came out in 2006, you know I'm not nearly as passionate about horror films as you are, but boy, if I don't own this movie on Blu-ray and just love it. I'm speaking of the caves in the movie The Descent.
Getting a lot of use out of that thing,
too. Yes, absolutely. I tell you what, a cave now, after seeing the movie Descent, scares the hell out of me. I mean, I'm holding someone's hand, and I'm pissing my pants when I'm inside a cave.
Nice. I still like spelunking.
You do?
Yeah.
Oh, have you done it? I actually have never physically done it.
Oh, no, I've done it. Yeah.
Oh, man. I think I would be terrified to do it, and especially like getting down where it's dark, and I got like a light on my helmet? No way. No chance.
Would you camp under there?
Oh, no. I wouldn't camp anywhere. I wouldn't even go camping.
Really?
No. Even above ground, much less below
Jesus.
Ground.
Come on, man. Come on.
Man.
Right after Blair Witch Project, I saw that movie in the theater. And right afterwards, I told all my friends, we're walking out to our cars. I'm like, let's go camping.
You're the weirdo.
Nobody wanted to go. I'm like, come on, you guys. Let's go. They wouldn't go. I would have scared the crap out of them.
I did want to give one honorable mention before we go to break, and that is, it's not quite a horror film, but this setting always scares me when it pops up in movies, and in this particular movie, Martha, Marcy, May, Marlene, I'm speaking of like a cult commune.
Okay.
An area where this like cult and these people are just...
Sure.
Oh, that kind of stuff
like
scares...
Like a compound?
Yeah, scares the hell out of me. And
it's creepy.
It's just creepy. And the beginning of Martha, Marcy, May, Marlene and the flashbacks to her going to this area and just... Oh, just gives me the chills.
Yeah, there's a few classics like psych wards, prisons,
right.
Those sorts of things. Those are always good. Gothica? No, wait, what was it? Yeah, was it Gothica?
Yes, Gothica with Halle Berry.
Yeah. No, that was J-Lo, dude, wasn't it?
Oh, was it J-Lo?
Jaw
Throw
box.
It in the jaw box.
Well, whatever, there was a psych thing in her mind, too, that was good. I might be mixing up two movies.
Yeah.
We'll jaw box it.
Yeah. What we're going to do, Jawheads, is we're going to take a break. When we come back, it is a cinema war looking at vampires versus zombies, perfect for this Halloween special, plus yourself versus John LaFlamboy in horror remake movie trivia. We'll be right back on Cinema Jaw.
Hi, I'm Matt Kay with a Cinema Jaw movie fact. In the film Hostel, the interior of the slaughterhouse was filmed at a functioning mental hospital in Prague, built in 1910 in a wing that had been closed for over 50 years. Building 10, where many of the scenes were filmed, was where the craziest patients were taken. The basement was so creepy that Eli Roth had a string quartet playing classical music to make it feel cozier while shooting. And that is your Cinema Jaw movie fact.
And we are back on Cinema Jaw, getting ready to drive back down to Statesville Haunted Prison.
Halloween special.
Absolutely. Matt, we threw a few items into the jaw box, and it's got to be creepy down there.
Well, Elias is kind of used to it, you know?
He is. And he's a creepy dude, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But let's open up that jaw box.
What's your pleasure, Mr. Cotton?
The box.
We got a box! Oh, what's in the box?
What is going on, guys?
How we doing, Elias?
Doing pretty good. The Jawbox is now sponsored by Redbox Instant.
Nice.
Come into the Jawbox where you'll instantly gag. But they did give me a new pillow, which is really nice. And Matt, that makes sense that you're a camp kid because that's why you always threaten me by saying you're going to sneak into my bunk at night.
Well, you know, that and you just kind of remind me of Michael Fassbender.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah, we talked about that at the rush
shop. Oh, this is getting sick.
Okay, let's see here. We got a lot of things. Rick Moranis' job in Ghostbusters 2. Let's see. He was their personal accountant and tax attorney.
Ooh. Attorney. Okay, he's a lawyer.
But yeah, he did. Yeah, he they also explain that he got his degree between movies at night school.
There you go.
Nice.
A law degree. Let's see. Linda Hamilton was in The Children of the Corn.
I did have that right.
Yeah.
It was He Who Walks Behind the Rose.
I was close.
Nice.
Yeah.
And Gothica was Halle Berry.
Ah, I was correct.
You were correct. There was a J-Lo film I'm thinking of. Oh, man. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, that's the one where it's in her mind. It's
The Cell?
The Cell.
The Cell. The Cell.
That was another really cool setting that I saw a lot of Jawhead saying on Facebook and stuff. It was like, what about when they go into their own mind?
Right.
You know? Like, yeah, that movie is a great example.
Yeah. Thanks, Elias.
Yeah, thanks, guys.
Now get back in that jaw box and we'll bury it underground for a while.
Here's another scorpion.
Well, we drove back down to Statesville Haunted Prison in the meantime, so John LaFlamboy can judge this cinema war.
All right, here we go.
And we're back on Cinema Jaw, and as promised, John LaFlamboy comes back from scaring people to join us here on Cinema Jaw. We are still hanging out at Statesville Haunted Prison, Matt.
Yeah, you know, my wife has this terrible fear of chainsaws. She can't deal with it, and there's always a chainsaw. You gotta have it.
It's like an homage to the old school haunted houses. I always make sure I have a chainsaw at the end, and it's just like in respect of those who came before me.
It's the big finish.
It still scared me this time around.
Yeah,
Matt. It brings us to a segment called
Cinema War,
and Cinema War works like this. Jawheads, this is where me and Matt battle on a topic each week, and our guest this week, haunted house guru himself, John LaFlamboy, plays judge and jury and determines who he thinks won this cinema war.
Yeah.
And it is very important because we are battling for 20 seconds of jaw time to rant and rave on whatever we want. We are talking zombies. We're talking vampires. Heck, Reno, tell the jawheads at home what today's cinema war topic is.
Today's cinema war topic, zombies or vampires? Matt, you'll be fighting for the zombies. Rye, you'll be fighting for the vampires. Let the cinema war begin.
Matt, let's not let the latest zombie craze fool anyone here. Vampires are cooler, creepier, and scarier. Plus, they have so much more lore about them. Afraid of garlic, burned by holy objects, can turn into a bat. What the hell do the zombies have going for them?
Ryan, you might as well be arguing that the Sox are better than the Cubs. When it comes to the undead, zombies are the winning team.
No way, man. Name the most famous zombie of all time. Hard to think of one, because zombies are void of personality. I shouldn't ask you that damn question.
Yeah, you shouldn't have.
He just schooled you right there. Never ask a question that you're not prepared to get the answer to.
But I tell you what, personality is where the vampires thrive. Ever hear of a dude with fangs that goes by the name of Dracula? How about Lestat and Lewis from Interview with a Vampire? Or Barnabas Collins from Dark Shadows? The list goes on and on.
Let's face it, you're on Team Edward. Vampires are frilly, dandy, sparkling, fancy lads who prance about wearing rouge and lipstick. Not that there's anything wrong with that, but it's not very scary, Rye, is it?
Well, I'll tell you this. It's so much easier to kill zombies. Gunshot to the head. In most zombie movies you watch, they kill thousands of them inside a 90-minute runtime. However, to kill a vampire, Matt, you need a wooden stake and some wits, because these guys are no dummies.
Right, what's a vampire going to do that's so bad? A little puncture wound and blood loss, and then I get to live forever and hypnotize young chicks? Sign me up! Zombies, on the other hand, will rip out your guts and devour your brains, leaving you a rotting corpse, or worse, a mindless ghoul yourself. Which is worse?
Well, I don't know which is worse, but I'll tell you this. Vampires make great movies, damn it. From The Lost Boys to Dracula, Buffy the Vampire Slayer to Daybreakers. It is the thinking man's horror choice. Take your dead virus gang to the graveyard. I'll take a bite into a vampire movie over a zombie flick any day of the week.
Actually, I think zombie movies can be way more intelligent. Why don't you change into a little bat and flitter away? Vampires bite, and not in a good way. Zombies are cooler, they're more punk, and they're way scarier. Strength in numbers, representative of the commercial culture, you name it, and zombies have nailed it. Vampires are for sweaty suburban kids in eyeliner.
Oh, tough crowd. Like always, me and Matt can't agree on a damn thing when it comes to Cinema War. We throw it to our guest. John, what'd you think of this Cinema War?
Well, I gotta tell you. I think maybe you made a mistake choosing John LaFlamboy, the founder and owner of Zombie Army Productions, to be the unbiased judge. But I'll say what I've always said. I find vampires to be a little bit pretentious. I find them to be preoccupied with sex. I find them to be always looking back at their 800-year boo-hoo history of the love they lost and the family that is gone. And eventually, that and their weakness of not being able to do a goddamn thing during the day makes them the weaker of the two.
Oh.
Zombies are en masse. They are a horde. They do not care about their past romantic adventures. They do not care about their boo-hoo life. They care about one thing: tearing you to pieces. And they do it in a horrid way, and they don't care about the day. A zombie doesn't go, oh, it's daytime, I gotta chill out here and wait till nighttime to be scary. I gotta go hide somewhere. No, the vampires are hiding like cowards in the daytime, while the zombies always kill. Constantly kill. Killing machines.
Wow. Sounds like Matt K won this one in a slaughter.
I ate your brains.
Matt, that earns you 20 seconds of jaw time to rant and rave on whatever you want.
All right, here we go. Recently, several jawheads and Rye the Movie Guy went on a Twitter tirade trying to convince us that The Phantom Menace is somehow better than Attack of the Clones. First of all, I didn't even think you could make a sentence using those words. Me's thinking you're forgetting something mighty big. Midichlorians, a virgin Vader birth, and Jake Lloyd. Rest my case.
Wow. Well done, Matt. That was one hell of a rant.
There you go.
Boy, you finally win a cinema war and you used it well. All right. Like I had mentioned before, John has been on the show twice before. I think he only took you on in trivia once when he was in the back room of Mothers, and I'm pretty sure he whipped your ass.
He probably won.
I took that day. I do remember that.
So in honor of our horror show that we're having here, Matt, we are playing horror remake movie trivia.
All right.
In honor of Carrie is being remade.
Oh, Jesus.
And so, I mean, they constantly are popping up, it seems, every single time. We just had the new Evil Dead and so forth. So yeah. We are playing horror remake movie trivia. John, yeah. You're our guest. You get to choose if you want to go first or let Matt go first. There are steals if the person doesn't know it. And if you get stuck on one, our engineer, Reno, has a clue. You get one rescue. Rescue me, Reno.
I'm going to let Matt go first.
Ooh.
All right.
What a gentleman. Question number one in horror remake movie trivia, Matt. What is the name of the 1974 horror classic directed by Tobe Hooper that was remade in 2003 and starred Jessica Biel?
Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
It is 1-0, Matt K. Question number two over to John. In 2011... Colin Farrell starred in this remake of a 1985 film in which a teenager thinks his new neighbor is a vampire.
Fright Night.
We got a ball game here.
Yes, we do.
1-1. Back over to Matt. Question number three. In 1998, Gus Van Sant remade the classic Psycho. Who played Norman Bates this time around?
That's a trick question. Oh. No, it's not. It was Vince Vaughn. I was thinking that there was a late sequel that actually had Anthony Perkins reprise the role. But, okay, almost
good
got
thing,
thrown
good
off
thing.
There.
Question number four over to John. Wreck, a 2007 Spanish film that was a huge hit. So, of course, we had to have an American remake in 2008. What was the name of that film?
Oh, geez. God, is it Quarantine? All right.
Nailed it.
But I got to tell you, Wreck is amazing.
I know.
Forget about the American version.
I agree.
Learn how to read subtitles. Wreck 1, 2, and 3 kick major ass.
I can't disagree with that.
2 points for that. All right, it is 2-2. John and Matt locked up here. Question number five over to Matt. This 1982 John Carpenter classic was remade in 2011. Instead of Kurt Russell, we had Joel Edgerton.
The Thing.
Everybody perfect. We got experts here. Question number six over to John. Gregory Peck played Sam Bowden, a lawyer whose family is terrorized by Max Caddy in the 1962 film Cape Fear. Who played Sam, the lawyer, in 1991 Scorsese remake?
I want to say De Niro, now, but I think I might be wrong there.
You do have a rescue if you want to go there.
Oh, God, I
this
can
is
see
the lawyer
it.
Who the person was terrorizing.
The lawyer, okay. I'm going to the rescue. I'm going to the rescue on this
rescue
one.
Rescue me, Reno. What was the name of that actor in Cape Fear?
And your clue is North Dallas 40.
Football movie, North Dallas 40. Does that help you at all?
Oh, my God. No, it doesn't. I think I'm going to fall down here. It's, oh, God, I could
Cape
see
Fear.
It, too.
Robert De Niro and who?
I got nothing. I'm going to drink this beer instead.
Matt, you got a chance for a steal here.
48 hours would have been a better hint.
Nick Nolte?
Nick Nolte.
Ah!
Wow. Wow. Nice, Matt takes nice a big
steal.
One there.
Nice steal.
4-2 now, Matt. Question number 7 is over to him. A Nightmare on Elm Street got a reboot in 2010. This time around, what actor played Freddy Krueger?
Jackie Earle Haley.
Wow. Wow. 5-2.
He would have known
Getting
that.
Getting schooled.
Question 8. Last question of the game, John. What is the name of the 2008 Jessica Alba film that was a remake of the 2002 Hong Kong film of the same name? In both, the lead character can see ghosts.
Oh, Jesus. Came in that whole series of Japanese remake movies. There was The Ring. Then there was...
Jessica Alba.
Yeah.
Jessica Alba. Anything here, guys.
Nah, I'm going to... I know the movie, and I just can't recall it right now. No.
Matt, you got a chance for a steal.
Was that The Eye?
Boom, you're killing it.
Wow.
Killing it.
Wow. That is it. Matt wins this one 6-2. Well done. Let's get a handshake.
Wow. I have to take you to the clown room now.
We did have a jawbreaker, we call it, in case it came down to a tie. We would have threw this to you, John.
It was a really tight game.
It was. It was good.
Moment. You only missed one question.
And then it all slipped away.
John, which new horror classic could use a remake already? The Sixth Sense or The Blair Witch Project?
Oh, God. I wouldn't touch The Sixth Sense. I would go with The Blair Witch Project. I'd play with that.
I give you that one.
Yeah,
I give you that one. Can't
that's
argue it.
True.
The real jawbreaker was this. Age of Jessica Alba, closest to.
I'm going to go with 32.
Matt?
34.
Don't even guess. He nailed it. 32 years old.
Oh,
well done. Well done.
she's still young.
Yes.
She's a spring chicken.
Oh, man. I tell you what, Matt, it brings us to the end of a great jaw, and we got to thank our guest, John. Thanks again for coming on.
Thanks for coming out, guys. It was great having you here.
Again, the hours and the places to go to for the Chicago Jawheads. Statesville Haunted Prison, open Thursday through Sunday, 7 to 10 on Thursdays and Sundays, mm-hmm. open till 11 on Fridays and Saturdays.
And if you want to see behind the scenes of Statesville Haunted Prison, check out daysoftheLivingDead.com. We release a new episode every single Thursday while we're doing this show. So it's a lot of fun. And please go check out The Mole Man.
Yeah, it's streaming on Netflix. You got to watch this.
And,
it's good.
And check out molemanmovie.com. It's got all the listings of all the different places you can see the movie and get the extras. Molemanmovie.com.
Yeah, and buy the DVD. Help support local filmmakers, as we're always trying to do here on Cinema Jaw. You won't be disappointed. It's a great movie.
And we want to make another. So, yeah, buy that DVD.
Yes.
Mole Man 2.
Thanks again, John, for coming on. We got to thank also our engineer, again, for making the drive out here, especially to Reno, the best in the biz.
Thank you, Reno.
Thank you, Reno.
Oh, boy. Matt, we got to thank John LaFlamboy for having us out at Statesville Haunted Prison. Again, Jawheads, if you can get down there, it's the perfect thing to do for Chicago Jawheads right before Halloween.
Yep, you got this weekend. Go check it out. They put a lot of work into that thing, and it's awesome.
Yeah, we want to also thank Reno, who took the time to record while we went down to Statesville. And yep. We also got to thank the best in the biz, Elias Rodriguez, for helping us out tonight.
Thank you, guys.
Elias, here's another scorpion. You've been so good.
Happy Halloween.
Thank you.
We also want to thank our sponsors.
Yeah, thanks to Redbox Instant.
Yes, get on our website. You'll see an ad for Redbox Instant. You get a free month if you click that ad and you help out Cinema Jaw.
I seriously recommend it.
Yes, and also thanks to The New 400, the best theater in all of Chicago, full liquor bar, best prices on first-run movies. Check out what's playing at thenew400.com.
Thank you to them.
Until next week, check us out on Facebook.
Follow us on Twitter.
And keep on jawing about the movies.